Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for Spirit. The OU started Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents and seniors, everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, Spirit continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today, we are privileged to welcome Sherry Tannenbaum to the Spirit Forum. Sherry is the author of a book called Woman of Few Words, which describes her life journey dealing with the disorder of dystonia, which affected her ability to walk and to speak. Sherry has lived with this disability for several decades, and it is absolutely miraculous that she is able to speak with us today. Thank you, Sherry, for offering to share your story. Can you please tell us a little bit about your life growing up before you encountered these challenges?
I was a normal child. I became a flower child in the 60s, and then I got ill. And then I became a balachira.
Okay, so that was, so you said this happened when you became a balachira?
Yes.
So how old were you when you got sick?
20.
And how did the illness progress?
Well, first I was in Los Angeles. I was taking an abnormal psychology class one day at UCLA. One day I was walking around and suddenly my right leg began to kick my left leg. I really thought nothing of it. It happened every once in a while. I thought maybe I was taking on some of the symptoms of the abnormal psychology class. But then it began to happen at every step.
And how about your speech? When did that start happening?
That happened after I was there at UCLA. I went back home, and suddenly, one night I was in the kitchen helping my mother make a salad. She asked me a question and I couldn't answer her. Everyone thought I was just fooling around until they realized I wasn't. I couldn't talk.
That must have been really, really frightening.
Yes, it was. And from there, it was time to go to my doctor, who sent me to a neurologist, who gave me all the neurological tests that were available at that time, and they all came back normal. So here I was, a normal adult. I just couldn't walk or talk. So they sent me to a psychiatrist, and I literally sat there and I just cried my eyes out because I knew I wasn't cuckoo. I just couldn't walk or talk.
So you went to all of these doctors. How many doctors do you think you went to all totaled? Sure, many, right?
Yeah, a lot.
And did anybody ever have any treatment or anything that, you know, was helpful?
Well, finally, after 2 years, I was living in LA. I was married, and I went to one doctor, and she said, according to the lab I got, you have Wilson's disease, which is a copper ring around your eyes. And while I'm sitting there, the labs call and they say, we gave you the wrong report. So then she said to me, I know you have something physical. I just don't know what it is. Please go see my superior. So I called the superior, and he had a waiting list of 5 months. I kept calling back. Is there any cancellation? No. Is there any cancellation? Finally, they said yes on Shabbos. So then I asked for Shaila if I could walk there, and they said yes. It took me 2 hours with my right leg kicking my left ankle to walk to that doctor's office. So he said to me, you have dystonia. I was so happy that I wasn't crazy. Then he said, but there's no cure. So I was totally devastated.
I can imagine. How many people in the world would you estimate have this disorder?
At that time, there were three of us.
Three of in the world? That was it? That they only know of three people? Oh, my.
Yeah. That's
very rare. Okay. But now they know of many, many more.
Yes. So NIH was not interested in doing any research because it wasn't lucrative for them. So my father said, I'll do it myself. So he gathered the doctor who diagnosed me and a few others, and they started the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation, which has helped a lot of people except me. So what it was named after.
So you're saying it helped other people, just didn't help you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that certainly makes it difficult, but at least you know that other people, you know, had the benefit of all that research.
Right.
So it's been now years, and basically, how have you dealt with everything, and how do you continue to deal with it?
I tell you, it was a lot easier for me to crawl into my bed, pull the covers over my head, and never get up. But I did it. I have 3 children, and they kept me going, and I just had to live.
So wait, a little bit of a timeline. So this happened while you were very young still. When you were in college is when and then you met your husband?
Yeah.
And even dealing with everything else, you were still able to have 3 children. Wow, that's
pretty amazing. They told me not to have children.
But you didn't listen.
Right, because they said there's a 50-50 chance of having a sick child. Now, I could barely take care of myself. How would I be able to take care of a sick child. But one day, one Shabbos, I was in shul, and it was Reshit. I was reading how the woman's role is to have children, and I said to myself, I do not want to miss out on that. So I've been taking medicines for 13 years. And my husband and I decided to take that leap of faith. So I stopped my medicine and I got pregnant. And it was not an easy pregnancy. I was in on bed rest in the hospital for the last 2 months. I had a perfectly healthy baby girl.
Baruch Hashem.
And then we moved to Israel. I turned 40 and the doctor said, well, it's not genetic. So then I said, okay, I'll have two more. At 42 and at 44.
Wow. Okay. So, and everybody, thank God, is fine?
Yes, the two of them are married. They have children. Everyone is all healthy. Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God.
So my lease of faith proved successful.
Okay, beautiful. So in all this time, okay, so, but you weren't speaking really, right?
No, I wasn't speaking.
So somehow you managed to get married, have children, and somehow you communicated. How did you communicate with everybody? Writing, but not on Shabbos, obviously.
No, whatever came out of my mouth was understood by my children.
Mm-hmm.
It was like garbled, totally unintelligible, but they got it.
So somehow everybody understood what you needed and you made everything clear, right?
Right. They became like mitzvah interpreters.
Okay. So how did, okay, but in the course of everything, there were all sorts of, I'm sure, awkward situations. How did you and your children and your husband feel, you know, handle these situations?
They're humiliating. I will give you one example. I went to the store and I wanted to get a gift for a friend. So thank God there's something called an organizer at that time where I could write. So I wrote to this lady, I need a pressure cooker. So she yelled to the lady over there, she said, this niece Kayla wants a pressure cooker. And this went all over the whole store. This niece Kayla wants a pressure cooker.
Wait, so can you explain what, wait. Sherry, what? I'm sorry, I didn't. That wasn't clear. What did you say? This what?
Niece Kayla.
Do you want to tell us what that means?
This pitiful person. So it went throughout the whole store. Finally, I got sick of that. So I wrote to her, "I am not a niece Kayla." So the first time she looked at me and she said, you're right, you are not a niece Kayla. So she yelled to everyone else, She died and these came out. And that went throughout the whole story. So that's just one example. I wrote out this note saying I can't talk. I have this neurological condition. I understand every word you say. I am not deaf. I am not retarded. So some people got that. But I considered my mission at the time is to sensitize people to differences. So when they would perhaps see someone else in a similar condition, they would realize that perhaps they also are deaf and retarded.
Sensitivity is certainly an issue. There are so many people that go around with various types of disabilities that people don't realize, and the comments that can be made can be so cruel. So hopefully you made people aware.
It's also fear that they do catch it.
That's a little silly, but I can see that. What were some of your other frustrations?
Dystonia is a 24-hour thing. I got up to move somewhere, there it is. I got up to say something, there it is. Sometimes I just wish I could go to an island all by myself and leave dystonia at home, but that couldn't happen. It was just a constant battle of humiliation and frustration. Every time I had to go somewhere, I'd have to type out exactly what I needed at every particular place on the old-fashioned typewriter.
So that was a coping skill.
Yeah. You adapt.
Did you find that people were generally helpful once they realized what was going on?
Yeah, they were. Once they realized. After they humiliated me.
What was your support system like? And who was your support system?
My parents, my family, some friends. They were my cheerleaders.
And how did they help you?
They just kept making me feel loved, making me feel accomplished, making me feel needed, making me feel like I have a reason to exist.
How were you able to get a college education? How did that go?
Well, I just went to college.
And where is your degree from? You know, tell us a little bit about your education.
I had a bachelor's of psychology from UCLA. Then I had a master's in human development, whatever that is, from Pacific Oaks College in Pasadena. I wanted to be a special ed teacher because I work in with special ed children, and I realized that children from like ages 0 to 5 don't have an established language pattern, so they can understand my gargles. But at the time, in order to get a special education degree, you needed to teach in a regular classroom. And since I couldn't talk, there was no way I could do that. So I tried to get, I needed a TO, and they still said no.
So that, I guess it didn't work out well. So what is your degree in? So you, so special ed didn't work.
Right. I have a degree in human development.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is.
Uh-huh. And what have you been doing professionally?
I'm an artist. Uh-huh. I design and make clothes. I have a 2 lines. I have skin. And then I have patchwork. And then I have bombastic jewelry.
So you have, you said you have jewelry, you do clothing.
Yeah.
Headpieces. I'm seeing what you're wearing something very unusual on your, so that's beautiful. So these are all the things that you do and you sell, right?
Yeah. I wish I could sell. I can't seem to sell. First of all, I don't have a business head. So I'm trying to find someone to sell for me. Also, the clothes are a little way out there, funky and original, and I haven't found my funky people. I'm the only funky one around.
Okay, well, hopefully soon. So let me just ask you, getting back, you said you couldn't speak for years on end. Now, thank God you're able to. How did that all happen? How did you manage to be able to speak again?
Well, I couldn't speak for 40 years.
Oh my goodness.
So one day I started to get laughing attacks. They just felt so good. I laughed hysterically from my gut, but they were out of context. They lasted varying degrees. You know, usually when you laugh, people laugh with you. But my husband hated it. He said, I'm taking it to your neurologist. Okay. I go to the neurologist. He says, you have a rare form of laughing epilepsy. So he gave me one medicine that didn't agree with me. Then he gave me a second medicine that had the worst side effect. I could talk.
Wow. So all of a sudden it just happened, right?
Yeah. My son said, he wishes he had a mute button.
Uh-huh. So now that you're able to speak, how has this changed your life?
Oh, it changed my whole life. I can going to a restaurant, order my own food. I can go into a store, ask for something, and actually get what I asked for. I can talk to my children. I can yell at them. I can talk to my husband, yell at him. I can talk to my friends. It's just a whole new life. Before I got my speech, I would sit in a room and everyone would be talking around me. And I'd say to myself, if I could talk, what would I say? And I said, I had nothing to say. Communication is an art. It's a muscle that needs practice. But I was wrong. It's very hard to shut me up now.
You're making up for past time, right? You're making up for lost time.
Yeah, I mean, I ask a lot of questions. My family hate it. They call me the interrogator. So I asked a few friends. I said, does it bother you that I ask so many questions? One said, no, you're making up for lost time. Another one said, no, it makes me feel like you're interested, like you care.
So I'm sure that in all the time that you spend so much time listening, you probably heard a lot of things that you said, oh, if I can speak, I would do it differently. So I'm sure that there's a lot that you're teaching people. So let me just ask you in conclusion, what is your, you know, after all of your experiences of so many years of listening to everybody, not being able to speak, not being able to do so many things, you heard a lot, you saw a lot, you saw probably beautiful experiences, people did wonderful things, and you also, as you said, saw things that people were very insensitive. What is your take-home message to anybody listening and seeing you today? What would you say to just everybody who has good health and manages? I have two questions. What is your take-home message for the average person? Okay. How they should view life and view people. And what is your take-home message for those who may have disabilities of all sorts of different things?
The average person, I would say, be grateful for what you have. Don't take anything advantage and be sensitive and empathetic to others. The people with special needs, I would say, don't ever give up. Do what you can with what you have. You are not your illness. You are a person who has an illness. Hashem could fix you in the blink of an eye, or it could take 40 years. But don't ever give up.
That is certainly something important. Not only not to give up, but to know that you did important things. You had children while this was going on. You were starting your creative business, right? People can do a lot even with a disability, correct?
Right.
And that's, I think, an important message. I want everybody to say, hopefully I can show this. This is the book that Sherry wrote. If you can see it, I'm going to put the link in that you can purchase it on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
Woman, a few words so that you can hear this, see the whole story and in Sherry's words. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing with us your story. And you're very inspirational. And we wish you hatzlacha and good health and the ability to continue sharing all of everything that all the time that you didn't have before. You've got a lot to say now. So please share all those words with all of us, and we will continue to enjoy listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.